The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show.
On Relevant Radio. Results of the runoff are in. A month after midterm elections saw neither candidate securing 50% of the vote. Baptist pastor and Democratic nominee for the U.S. Senate for Georgia, Raphael Warnock, is victorious.
It is my honor to utter the four most powerful words ever spoken in a democracy. The people have spoken.
Democrats are now headed for a 51-seat majority in the 100-seat Senate, giving it control of Senate committees and more leeway in tight votes. But they could face some roadblocks in the House of Representatives after Republicans won a narrow majority there in the midterms, although falling short of the red wave they'd hoped for.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, good afternoon. Welcome. A lot going on in the world, huh? I don't know if you were watching any of this yesterday or not. Yesterday's runoff election in Georgia is now complete. And unbelievable turnout. Actually, really great turnout. The Democrats were successful. They now have a 51-49 majority in the Senate. That means that the vice president will no longer be the tie-breaking vote. Believe it or not, Kamala Harris actually had as many tie-breaking votes. I think she might have even had one more. Than John Adams. She was either tied with him or had one more. So now that the Senate's out of balance, we're not going to see that problem again. But incumbent Raphael Warnock, he beat former football star Herschel Walker, I think there was something like about 90,000 votes. So strong turnout. Abortion was, again, a big player in this contest. I don't know why. I really don't. I'm really beginning to reevaluate my perception. And I'm thinking, man, am I not reading things right? We reap what we sow. We reap what we sow. We get who we put in office. So don't complain about what you experience when it comes to a culture of death, when it comes to all the byproduct of that sin, when you go ahead and you vote this way. Of course, Walker was no saint, right? Herschel Walker was being accused by a woman of paying for her abortion after he allegedly impregnated her. And Warnock saying this week that he supports abortion because, and here's his mindset, it's, quote, it's exactly what Jesus would do. Oh my gosh. I would cry if that was not so ridiculous. Explain that to me. I am literally speechless. I support abortion. You know why I support it? It's because it's exactly what Jesus would do. Oh, yeah. That's exactly what Jesus would do, right? I don't know how much more blasphemous you can get than that. But that's where we stand in the country this day. I'm telling you, there is a darkening of the mind. There's a darkening of the intellect. There's a bedimming of it. There's a hardening of the heart. There's an irrationality, a spirit of spiritual blindness in our country. That makes zero sense to me. It lacks rationale, right? So does so many of these policies that are being forward to destroy family and children and life. They're bad for the country. They're bad for you. They're bad for those you love. And yet people blindly vote and put into office people who hold these views. And you know what? It rains on the good and the bad. It's going to rain on you if you're in the good. It's going to rain on the bad. We get what we, we reap what we sow. It's just, it's so frustrating to me. I'm sorry. It's just so frustrating, so irrational. Just makes no sense whatsoever. And of course, there's a lot going on right now with censorship, right? With the election and who's in office. News was breaking regarding Twitter. And a lot is coming to light. I thought Elon Musk, I said, why are you spending $40 billion on Twitter? It's kind of a lot of money, right? On a social media platform, things come and go. But I just want to stand up. I don't agree with everything that Elon Musk says, does, or even represents. But I do want to applaud him on this. And I want to say, bravo. I'm so glad he bought this. I'm so glad that he pulled open the curtain, right? He showed you what was going on, the connection, the collusion, if you will, with the Democrat Party and Twitter, with the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation. I got a buddy who's an FBI agent, right? So I hate throwing stones at these guys, but when you see that they had a portal into Twitter so they could collect all the data, when you see people censoring what can be given to the media, this is not good for our country. It doesn't make us stronger. It doesn't make us better. Trying to advance this particular ideology and using whatever unethical means we want, it's not good for the country. We're not stronger for it. We're weaker for it. So what are we seeing now? The Biden administration, right? They've come out, Twitter, you know, Biden or, you know, Elon Musk. We got to look into that guy, right? So the administration has launched an investigation into Elon Musk's company, Neuralink. And he's being investigated right now over, supposedly, the treatment of animals during testing. Now listen to what technology editor Peter O'Brien is saying about this.
Musk is very, very keen to bring this to market quickly so that anyone in the public can buy one of these chips.
Whether they need it or not, I suppose. And back to this story of what they have been purportedly doing to these animals. Tell us more.
Yeah, that's right. So the Reuters investigation includes interviews with more than 20 current and former employees that are saying that Neuralink is going too quickly. It's trying to do too much. And as a result, animals are being harmed and killed en masse. So as a result, for instance, in 2021, 25 out of 60 pigs had the wrong size implant. And of course, every time there's a botched experiment, they have to be killed and the experiment has to start again. It also cites four further experiments where there were human errors, including a total of 86 pigs and two monkeys. Since 2018, so in the last 4 years alone, the company has killed about 1,500 animals, sheep, pigs, monkeys, rats, and mice. Now, animal testing is, of course, widespread, but the difference is that the employees are saying that there's a lot of needless suffering and killing because Musk is specifically pushing his employees to go very quickly.
So where's the outrage? Just to follow up on this, okay? Look, I've got a dog. My wife loves animals. I mean, we all do, right? They could be your best friends, give you a lot of comfort. Where's the outrage on how many children are being destroyed every single day? More kids die in the womb of mothers in this country, the safest place supposedly on the planet, than died in 9/11. You know, every day we've got greater numbers of 9/11 taking place in this country. So, of course, Biden administration, not liking the fact he's involved with Twitter, let's investigate. And you heard Musk said that his company is going to start human trials also with implants. I want to tell you about that. He referenced that. But before I tell you about these neural implants, which are kind of interesting, let me just finish the thought on the fact that the federal prosecutor asked the Department of Agriculture to investigate claims that Musk's company violated animal welfare laws and their use of monkeys and pigs. And employees say that they've been pressed too hard by upper management, and that's led to mistakes requiring certain animals be killed. And look, I'm not the only one to think that there's a connection between this this investigation. And again, if it's wrong, I hope it comes to light, right? We want justice and all things. But, you know, you've got to find something to investigate this guy on, right? Because he just ripped the mask off of Twitter, and you get to see who's behind it. You get to see how nefarious it was with its algorithms, its personnel, and what it did to really influence an election. But, you know, whether or not it made a difference in the long run, we can argue over that. But it did more to influence the election. It silenced people. It limited and censored speech. It banned people that they did not know. And you know what? They were walking step in step, hand in hand with the United States government in this. The Democrat Party was doing this, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the Biden administration. I don't find it a surprise that suddenly Musk is being investigated. I'm not making excuses if there's some wrong here. I'm just saying, I wonder why suddenly they're going to investigate these animal abuses, if that's indeed the case. Yeah, there may not be any. We don't know. They're just doing this investigation. Again, why not the outrage when it comes to human lives, right? Why not? Of course, mainstream media, they're not apologizing for how they covered up the story on Hunter Biden. Have you heard anybody apologize on that? Have you heard anybody come out and say, oh, you know what? We were really wrong. You know, we failed in our duty to be objective, to be fair, to be balanced, to give you truth, to hold those in power accountable. No, I didn't hear that at all. I heard absolute silence. Guess what? Elon Musk is going to publish more, and he's calling these things smoking guns. He's going to do it through two independent journalists. So I think there's more to come. This is the tip of the iceberg. I'll bring it to you, of course, and let you know what we're going to find out. But I think it's very telling. I'm glad it's coming to air. You know, sunshine, it's got to come out of the darkness and into light. Sunshine's a great sanitizer. And that's what we need to do. We need to get rid of this sickness, this infection. You know, we need to sanitize it. Hey, speaking of Musk, one final thing here. Just a weird story, right? A lot of conservatives want to make Elon into a hero because of what he's doing on Twitter. But you got to remember, and again, I applaud him for some of the things he does. And then I also want to say, look, you got to give pause to some of the other things. He's still obsessed right now with tech and the fusion of the human person with tech. I had dinner with a friend of mine over the weekend. One was a surgeon, the other was a bioethicist. And this bioethicist I just met for the first time. But boy, he was talking all about transhumanism. We were talking about a lot of these different issues that are out there. And, you know, we don't think too much about it. The company, Musk has a company called Neuralink. They want to start human trials in 6 months on the fusion of tech with the human person. The company just recently demonstrated, successfully, by the way, with a monkey, that one of the chips, they were putting chips in the brain, right? They were putting chips in the brain, they could type out the words like "welcome to show and tell," right? They could do these things. So there's a lot of possibilities that if you have a chip in your brain, I always worry about it being hacked, and then what you'll be doing, right? Pick up the gun, pull the trigger, right? If you can make somebody type, you know, "welcome to show and tell," brain computer interfaces, they can allow soldiers, right, to control weapons with their thoughts. So instead of having to have a gun and get it up on your shoulder and look down the scope or do whatever, maybe a missile, maybe a drone, you can do it with your thoughts. You can look at the screen and navigate that thing or tell the missile where it needs to go or when to fire. It also can turn off the fear. Now, if you can turn off a fear in somebody, you can tap into that part of the brain. Just think about that. I know it sounds so futuristic, right? This is the area that Musk is now wading into. Hey, look, there are some practical benefits for the fusion of technology and the human body. I can make some cases for that. But on the other side of the equation, I can see some real moral concerns with this. So one more story, and I want to bring you up to speed on something your kids need to know about. I want to talk to you about Indonesia because we're talking morality here, right? If you plan to go to Indonesia, I don't know if you've ever been there, make sure you follow the church's teaching on sex outside of marriage, right? No sex outside of marriage, right? If you do, you're going to be fine. Enjoy your stay. If you don't, be prepared maybe to get fined or even arrested. The Indonesia parliament unanimously passed a bill that allows extramarital sex, outlaws extramarital sex, as well as insulting the president and state institutions. So they just approved a new criminal code. It bans anybody in the country from having sex outside the marriage. That includes foreigners, not just Indonesians. So you might say, well, I'm living with my girlfriend or I'm living with my boyfriend. You know, we don't believe in marriage, right? Good luck. Listen to what BBC correspondents are reporting.
For sex outside of marriage, the imprisonment is maximum up to 1 year, and for the cohabitation is up to 6 months. However, the only parties who can file the complaints are the spouses of these individuals who commit now crime or the parents. So this new set of laws are applied not only to Indonesians, but also foreign visitors. So for example, if a foreign visitor engage in sex outside of marriage with an Indonesian, then the spouse or the parents of the Indonesian can file a complaint if they chose to do so. The new set of law will take effect of maximum of 3 years, and during that time, the public can take the articles they see as problematic to the Supreme Court.
Well, again, just to be clear on what we are saying here, charges, according to the Associated Press, have to be based on police reports lodged by the spouse. So your spouse is cheating on you, yeah, you can get them arrested. Parents whose kids are maybe having sex. Children who want to throw their parents under the bus, right? What didn't get passed, though, and I don't know why this was the case, and who knows, was a ban on gay sex. So that's okay. Heterosexual sex isn't. Was what was in the article. You know, I'm just passing along. Top of that, citizens could face a 10-year prison term for associating with organizations that follow Marxist-Leninist ideology, and a 4-year sentence for spreading communism. So we got a lot to talk about coming up. Is Ryan going to join us? Does Patrick know he's on board with us? So we probably should. Let me take a break, Maggie. When we come back, I'll tell you what. When I come back, I want to share one more story with you on the other side of this. And we'll dive into this. I don't know if you heard this or not. Are you familiar with American Girl dolls, right? You know, healthy alternative, a lot of girls like this. I just saw a story today. American Girl has come out with a book called Body Image. And they're getting involved in this whole gender issue where they're telling girls, you know, if you haven't reached puberty yet and you're not sure whether you're a boy, well, you know, hang on. Doctors can help you. They can give you some medicine for that. There's some procedures you could take. And, you know, if you don't have anybody safe to talk to, we can help you. Again, we are targeting our children. It's absolutely demonic. It's satanic. When we come back, I'll fill you in on what to me is really just an unbelievable story.
Your news. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. Your news now.
You know, we receive over a million prayer requests every year, thanks in part to the Catholic Order of Foresters Studio Line, helping us stay connected to your intentions. Learn how our sponsor can support your family with life insurance at relevantradio.com/Forester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
Real faith, real talk. You're listening to The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, good to be with you today. Have you heard this story? I was a little bit shocked, a little taken back when I heard it earlier today. The American Civil Liberties Union used to be known as an organization that backed up civil liberties, right, of anybody in the country, no matter how repugnant the person might be. In one of their more famous cases, they supported a group. You think, well, how can they support them? The Ku Klux Klan, right? They supported their ability to march through a primarily black area of a southern town. But, that's changed. Their latest escapade is now threatening a Methodist healthcare organization in Tennessee with a complaint to the Department of Health and Human Services because this hospital, I think it's Le Bonheur, I think is the name of this hospital in Tennessee. They put a pause on a planned trans surgery, right? Person was 19 years old. This is what the spokesman told the person. They said, in recent weeks, some care providers voiced questions about patients receiving gender-affirming procedures at a facility associated with our health system. This resulted in a temporary pause to review current practices. The ACLU, it claims that the pause violated federal law. So meanwhile, the ubiquitous American Girl brand, which came out with a new book, you think, oh, that's going to be great. What is it? Seems like it's just the thing for helping teen girls or tween girls, perhaps I should say, figure out their bodily changes, right? It's called a smart girl's guide to body image, right? A smart girl's guide, body image. And I thought, oh, that's good. I mean, girls can certainly use that, right? Time of transition. Oh, it looks good on the outside. When you open that book, the inside is absolutely horrific. I saw this article, I think it was in the Christian Post earlier today, right? And they're telling girls that they should seek puberty blockers. They should be making, they say, look, if you're not sure what your sex is, you know, your gender is, there's medication that can help you with that. And just give yourself a pause. If you have nobody you can talk to about this, we can give you somebody to talk to. And I'm thinking, well, why are they going around the parent, first of all, right? I mean, you have no one to talk to. These kids should be talking to their parents about this issue, right? Not going to some physician or some wacko and having, you know, their gender mutilated, having it reassigned, making permanent changes to their bodies, go behind their parents. And here's an organization that will help them. Again, it's one of these wacky stories that are out there. And I'm thinking, why even go down this lane? I mean, how big of an audience do you have out there that are being gender reassigned? I've invited today Ryan Bomberger to stop by, co-founder and chief executive officer of the Radiance Foundation. He's coming out with a new book. He and his wife have a new children's book called She Is She. Good title, right? She is She. I hope it's a blockbuster. I do. I hope it flies off the shelf. You can learn more about Ryan. He's an Emmy Award-winning creative professional. He's been a guest here many times. His website is radiancefoundation.org. Ryan, welcome back. Good to talk with you.
Always great to talk to you, Drew.
Hey, congratulations on your book. Can't wait for that to come out. Before we talk about any of this American Girl book, fill me in on She Is She. What are you planning and why now?
Well, unfortunately, we have to come out with a book like this. My wife is a teacher by education. I used to be a creative director. Through our organization, the Radiance Foundation, we felt like we had to tackle this issue because our young girls are being targeted. So people can go to sheisshe.com. It's actually available now. It just came out. Right. And it really just celebrates, you know, undeniable, biological, beautiful her. We celebrate what it means to be female in a culture that keeps trying to tell girls, well, you know what? There's something better. Become a boy. Like, what? They're both equally wonderful, but which is also why later on we're releasing He Is He. But for now, She Is She.
That's awesome.
And our young girls are being targeted so heavily by this junk science, and it's dangerous, and it's heartbreaking to see this happen. So we wanted to celebrate what it actually means to be a girl and celebrate motherhood, celebrate family, and it does this in this adorably illustrated children's book.
Well, I want to applaud you first for doing it, and I want to encourage anybody who's got a young child. What's the age demographic on this? Is it tweens, the young girls? What are we looking at?
It can go, two to age 10, but it can also go to middle school. My wife was a middle school teacher, and they did storybooks, picture books all the time.
Awesome.
So it can even go through middle school. But it really is young as two, and the parents can choose to go deeper if they want to. On our website, we'll have more resources starting Friday. There'll be more resources for them to dig deeper.
That's awesome. The website is sheisshe.com. Sheisshe.com. Go pick up the book. Support those who are actually trying to bring some goodness, some truth, some beauty to the culture and really help our children in those very formative ages. Sheisshe.com. You might make a great Christmas book for somebody. You know, give it to them. Yeah, let's talk about American Girl, though, because they were an alternative to some of the other stuff that we had out there for a while. Very respected brand. Tens of thousands of girls still go to the stores. They still buy their dolls, right? And again, maybe I'm missing something. I'm beginning to question my own sense of how I can read the winds here. Why would an organization, this is, I think, kind of counter to their brand. Why would they decide to convince girls that they're really not girls at all? It doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense for me. What am I missing?
You're not missing anything. The problem is they're the ones missing something.
That's
There's
weird.
Something missing in their heart and in their minds that somehow being a girl is not enough. In fact, what we're actually experiencing is patriarchy that's being injected into all the pageants, into, you know, Girl Scouts, and now into American Girls, where it's not enough to be a girl. You actually have to be a boy masquerading and, you know, dressing up in the costume of a girl. And part of the answer, too, is that American Girl, people don't realize American Girl is also owned by Mattel, which put out a transgender doll recently of Laverne Cox, who was someone who starred in just a sexually explicit and violent prison dramedy on Netflix called Orange is the New Black. So, of course, children's dolls should be featuring someone who acts in something that a child should never even be exposed to.
Right.
But this is also a person, by the way, and I'm putting this in quotes, transgender individual who was supporting a convicted rapist and murderer, supporting the release of a convicted rapist and murderer. So this is what's happening, and Mattel's pushing this, and American Girl is putting out this book, Body Image, and saying, love your body. Oh, well, except if you don't love it, take dangerous drugs, and you can change your sex, which we all know is a lie.
Wow.
I don't understand what goes on in the heart and the mind of someone that is targeting young girls who already deal with enough to then say, it's okay if you reject your body.
You know, it's so weird. You and I have talked about life, you know, many times together on the program. Dobbs's issue came out, Rose Fallen, things are changing. That used to be like the preeminent issue of the day. But it seems today that this transgender movement has really risen to prominence. And it's such a minority, such a fractional part of our society at large. I don't want to diminish anybody who has gender identity issues. I hope they get the help they need, and we should certainly be compassionate in all situations. But it seems that it's bigger than just the person that's struggling with this. It seems as if, though, there is a movement, a whole transgender movement that's trying to push this agenda, this ideology, onto the entire populace. And what they're doing is they're doing an end around parents. They're circumventing parental authority, and they're going right towards these children when they're forming. I mean, I just can't imagine the confusion in the minds and the development of so many kids who are exposed to everything from drag shows to books from American Girl on whether or not you're a boy or a girl. I never questioned it a day in my life. What do you see in terms of the big picture here? Why now? And what's with this hard push, especially pinpointed or targeted towards our kids?
Well, it's really an embrace of Marxism. Marxism that wants to separate parents from children. If you keep demonizing the parents, you can't trust them. And that's part of this that's in this book, Body Image. You know, sometimes you can't trust the adult, but we can give you organizations where you can trust these adults. A large part of it is also greed and money. There is a huge amount of money being made in these gender attacking, they call them gender affirming, but they're really gender attacking surgeries.
That's true.
There's huge money in puberty blockers. Planned Parenthood is now making a bunch of money pushing puberty blockers. And of course, you don't have to have any kind of medical referral. You can show up to Planned Parenthood and they will give you these drugs in less than an hour with no medical referral whatsoever, because they understand that this is a big revenue generator. And it's, of course, part of this larger ideology that, you know, we can't truly know who we are, which is basically the effort to erase objective truths.
Yeah,
it's bigger than erasing women, which is a huge part of it, but it's about erasing basic truths, absolute truth. And so everyone gets to divine what is true and what isn't, but that never works. You can't have a society where everyone gets to decide this is right, this is wrong, and there is no sense of any kind of measure or any kind of gauge as to what is good and what is evil.
That's so true. My guest today is Ryan Bomberger. I only have him for a few minutes, but if you want to join us, you want to sound off, maybe you're a teacher, maybe you're a parent, maybe you've experienced this, you can get in right now. I'll open the phones at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You can call. We'll take your calls and questions in just a moment. If you're just joining me, by the way, we're talking about American Girls, that institution coming out with a brand new book called A Smart Girl's Guide, Body Image, right? And it is a book that is not a smart girl's guide, something you want to stay away from. So this is really a cautionary segment for you right now. Be very careful. Don't buy this book for your children. If you want an alternative to that, if you want to introduce your child into something that's wholesome, give your daughter a good sense of worth. A wonderful new picture book came out. It's called She Is She by Ryan Bomberger and his wife. You can find that at sheisshe.com. You know, on a strictly business level, does this kill, you know, I think this kills our market. I mean, if girls are really boys, they're not going to be buying American Girl products anymore. It's just like a business, you know, we often had this conversation about businesses supporting abortion, because you're then killing your future customers, these diaper companies and all these baby product companies. I don't get it. Your thought on the logic behind this. And then when we spoke about abortion too, Ryan, in the past, we talked about how minorities are often targeted, right, in poor or low-income areas. How's this hitting those communities? Is this transgender agenda targeted at them in a special way, or is it pretty much broadened across the spectrum?
Well, as with anything, it targets the most vulnerable. And who's more vulnerable than those who are in families that are dysfunctional, families that are broken, fatherless families? And that is a huge push. You have to remember, too, all these LGBT groups like Human Rights Campaign, GLAAD, all of them actually support the legalization of prostitution. And when they do that, they're always centering on black transgender individuals. So there is this whole push, this disproportionate focus and impact on black and brown communities. This is what they do. They do this with abortion, and they're now doing this with all this transgenderism. But it's so devastating to think about. That people think, well, one, I'm being compassionate because I'm listening and I want to include people. What ends up not happening is they don't actually find out what the trauma is that lies beneath. Everyone wants to celebrate the glitter and the rainbows that are on the surface, but they don't want to find out the trauma. That's why people who have you know, gender dysphoria, they need the counseling, which now is being criminalized, by the way. I mean, this is a multifaceted effort to not just, you know, it's not about, oh, just celebrate or, oh, just accept it. You have to participate in it.
Well, let's do this. Let's grab a couple calls. I only have a moment or two left. Dr. Bill Donahue is going to be stopping by in a minute. Another fascinating conversation coming up on the attempt to try to cancel Christmas. But Paul, in Coventry, Rhode Island, you're up first. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm just wondering, where is the feminist movement on all of this to protect girls?
Such a good point. We had that conversation yesterday, Ryan. My producer Maggie and I. I'm like, where are they? Right? Where are they? Where are the feminists in all this? I mean,
they're in line with it. They're in line with it.
Again, it goes contrary to really what their ideology should be. How does this benefit feminists?
It doesn't at all. But this, you mentioned the word logic earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
There is no logic with it. Just like there's no logic with pro-abortion radicalism, there's no logic with this either. What's interesting is you do have some gay groups and some lesbian activists who are saying, wait a minute, this transgenderism is crazy, and they're fighting it. So you get some of these more fringe activists who are saying, wait a minute, this is... I mean, you've got J.K. Rowling, who actually has more of a spine than most pastors across the country, to be honest. But there are a small handful of LGBTQ activists who are saying, wait a minute, I shouldn't even say LGBTQ because they're actually denying the whole part of the acronym, and they're saying, wait a minute, this is going too far. So the main feminist groups, though, fully embrace it.
Hey, Ryan, I want to thank you for your time. I wish you the best of success with this new book, and I hope people will go and check it out. SheIsShe.com, right? Fresh off the press. And that's the title of the book. Would it make a good Christmas gift for some people?
100%. It would make a good book for many people.
All right.
Get many. Churches, your libraries, your families, your grandkids.
That's a great idea. It's a new children's book. Just came out. She is She. And I'll tell you what, it's on the opposite end of the spectrum of what we're seeing coming out now from American Girl, which is unfortunate. Ryan, have a blessed Christmas if we don't talk, okay? Keep up your wonderful work. Hope we can get together again soon.
Yes, thanks. You too, Drew. Merry Christmas.
We got it. Merry Christmas. That's Brian Baumberger. Got to take a short call, short break. When we come back, speaking of Christmas, wait to hear this. a lot going on in the secular world, and I'll fill you in. Let's just leave it at that, okay? Stay with me. Dr. Bill Donahue will be back on the other side, and I've got some really, I think, unbelievable stories to share with you. And it seems to be the tone of this first hour, doesn't it? Such a crazy hour. I'll be right back.
This hour is sponsored by Creative Planning. How are you aligning your financial plan with your Catholic values? Is your Catholic faith influencing your financial future? More information, including disclosures, at creativeplanning.com/Catholic Focus.
This Christmas, let us look to the one the season's all about.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Let us keep Christ in Christmas.
And as much as the secular world likes to celebrate Christmas, it really is the most countercultural major holiday on the calendar, if you think about it. The idea that, just as a Catholic where I stand, right? The idea that God has taken up our human flesh, you know, on that cold Christmas morning, lying in a manger, a place where livestock feed and, you know, animals are completely helpless in swaddling clothes, watched over by two of the most significant people in the world and adored by shepherds and visited by angels, right? You know, it's a beautiful story, right? However, Christmas and its influence has changed. I personally believe our culture for the better, or at least it did for a time. Some people who don't like the religious holiday, though, they don't like, you know, religious liberty, are unhappy. In King County, Washington, that's a county that encompasses Seattle, employees have been told they cannot keep religious items celebrating Christmas in their workplace, right? The reason, of course, well, you might offend somebody else. You might make somebody uncomfortable. And guess where else? They can't have them in their homes. I said, that's not true. Come on. No, it's true even in their homes, because if they're in a Zoom call, somebody else might see them and be offended because they had a Christmas decoration in their home. In Eureka Springs, Arkansas, city officials told a group of Christians, hey, you're not allowed to display nativity scenes in a city park. You know, even though it's been done every year for the past half a century or more, since 1950, really, think about it. Christians there resisted. And they said, we're not going to take it down. No way. And guess what? The city backed down. The city said, okay, right? Richmond, Virginia, a Christian group called Family Foundation has scheduled an outing at a well-known restaurant called Metzger's Bar and Butchery. Just 90 minutes before they were going in there, they got a call from the owner. Now, listen, this is the most repugnant of all the stories I'm telling you. The owner canceled this reservation. Okay? They canceled this reservation. The reason? They say there's a lot of women and a lot of people who are gay here who work, and we don't want to serve this group because they're pro-life. You know, according to the owner, the foundation was a group of donors to a political organization. They claim, the owner of the restaurant said, no, they deprive women and LGBT, you know, Q plus persons of their basic human rights in Virginia. We always refuse service to anyone making our staff uncomfortable or unsafe. There's that key word again. Have you noticed? You make me uncomfortable. I'm unsafe. Can't have. Look, what hypocrisy. Can I just say this for just a moment? You know, whatever happened to the spirit of tolerance? You've got photographers, you've got bakers, you've got web designers, right? They're all being sued. Their cases are before the Supreme Court. Why? Because they conscientiously object to, you know, participating in a same-sex ceremony. Not that they wouldn't serve somebody who was gay. This group won't serve dinner because they feel uncomfortable, because they don't like somebody who, you know, whose philosophy and ideology is different than theirs when it comes to the LGBTQ ideology of our day. The foundation is pro-life. It supports marriage as being between a man and a woman. And this group says, we're not going to serve you. So much for tolerance, right? These are just the kind of things that we're starting to face as Christians who stand against the culture. And there's been a man who's been a very vocal, very outspoken, very clarion voice defending Catholic truth and religious liberty for years, well before I probably even had this microphone. His name's Dr. Bill Donahue. He's president and CEO of the Catholic League for Religious and Civil Rights. You can find him, by the way, at CatholicLeague.org. They're a great organization. He just wrote a great piece today. I just saw it. But I've invited him to stop by today, give us his perspective on what's unfolding. I know he's got his finger on the pulse of what's happening in the culture, especially. Hey, Dr. Donahue, thank you for being here. Good afternoon.
Thank you. Thank you for all the good work and all the topics you're hitting on. These are very important topics.
A ton of these things. It's outrageous. You wrote something today. I just read that about a Christmas parade in the town of Taylor, Texas, that allows drag queens to be in it. What's the lesson that we can draw from that?
Well, the lesson we can draw from that is that they're using the idea of inclusivity to jam their own radical agenda down our throats. There's no respect for the diversity that Christmas has and what it symbolizes. These are Christmas haters. They hate the Judeo-Christian heritage. They hate Catholicism in particular. And so they don't call themselves haters. They always talk about tolerance and whatnot. Matter of fact, the listeners should understand, the more you hear somebody talk about tolerance, be careful. It's usually code for what they're trying to do is really shove their intolerant views down our throats. These people are not content to say, well, you know, this holiday's not for me. They want to destroy it. Okay, they're nihilists. They're kind of moral anarchists. And that's what we're faced with here. It's everything you've mentioned before is moral anarchy. You don't want to. You won't allow people who are pro-life to have lunch or dinner in a restaurant. You want to ban nativity scenes, even though they're totally legal. What I mean by that is you shouldn't be putting a nativity scene on public property if it's at the seat of government.
Right.
But if you put it in a park, like in this particular case that you mentioned, they can't do anything about it. As a matter of fact, tomorrow, on Thursday, December the 8th, Immaculate Conception, the Catholic League will erect its life-size nativity scene once again, as we have for about a quarter of a century, in Central Park, on public property, in front of the Plaza Hotel. It'll be up there for weeks right through the holidays, and it's entirely legal, and we get our permit from the Parks Department in New York City, just as Jews get their permit to erect the world's largest menorah. So people on our side first need to find out what the law is. Don't listen to what the other side says because they'll lie to you. And secondly, then use your constitutional rights the way we do, and we don't have a problem.
Yeah, I saw another story, Doctor, where the Freedom From Religion Foundation, who's behind a lot of these things like Eureka Springs and in Arkansas and of all places, telling people, look, you can't have nativity scenes on public land. You do this all the time, though. I mean, why can't they do it, but you can? What is the law, and where do you draw the limit in terms of who can or can't put something up on public land? What if the Church of Satan wanted to put up a statue of Baphomet?
Well, what the law says is this. If the public property is a public forum, meaning that it's open to musicians, right, artists, people of all different perspectives, you can't now engage in viewpoint discrimination. Gotcha. And say, let's say, okay, so you can have the Satanists singing their songs and putting up their wares, but you can't have the Christians putting up a nativity scene. You can't do that. Right. Where it gets a little tricky, and I avoid it just because I want to win on this,
right,
if you put the nativity scene right near the seat of government, on the property of City Hall,
right,
or just outside in the park right adjacent to it, that could be problematic because they're going to argue, the secularists, that the government is endorsing religion. But if it's in like a place like Central Park or this other place, Basin Park, whatever it was in that place, and we researched it there, and if it's not near any seat of government, they can't make that argument. So shoot for a public forum where they have bands and they have concerts and artistic displays and whatnot. And then they can't stop you at all, because if they do, then you can contact us and we can sue them.
You know, I was reading about the European Parliament, and I thought this, I was surprised by this story, because interestingly enough, the European Parliament just allowed for the first time a nativity scene to be placed in front of its building. Right. And I thought, well, maybe that happened before. And when their constitution was rewritten, maybe that got changed. What's happening in Europe now? Why would the staunchly secular EU now allow nativity scenes?
Well, that's an anomaly. Quite frankly, there are a lot of attempts there. I just read of a case in England this week where they put urine inside the bulbs and then put it up on a Christmas tree.
Ugh.
So in other words, it's mixed. Of why it's going on there. It is true that Europe is basically gone. They've become increasingly secular. Yeah, the only hope for Europe are the people who are not from Europe, who are coming in there from Latin America and from Africa and Asia, and they're bringing their religion with them. And that's creating a problem for all these white boys.
Yeah.
The white boys and girls who have all the degrees with the alphabet after their name are the most intolerant people in the world.
So true.
And, it's not amongst the non-whites. Look out for the white, well-educated people, because they are the most intolerant segment of our society. They're the ones who are engaged in militant secularism, and they don't believe in tolerance and live and let live. There's no laissez-faire there.
Yeah.
It's one size fit all, and they have to be resisted and defeated.
So do you see a battle raging now between Christianity and secularism, and how bad is that battle? Who's winning the war, if you would?
Well, it's been going on now, obviously, for decades. One could argue from the Enlightenment in the 18th century,
yeah,
but it's only gotten worse. The pace has quickened. The fact that you even see, for example, just take what you were talking about before with the previous guest, you talk about feminism, you know, back in the 19th century, that meant the suffragette movement, in the early 20th century, the suffragette movement again, and then you get into equal rights, equal pay. That's not what we're talking about. The feminism is gone.
Right.
What you now have is the postmodern idea that there's no such thing as truth, there's no such thing as a man, no such thing as a woman. Read the works of people like Judith Butler and others. They deny that there's even such a thing as a man or a woman. At Harvard Medical School, they're teaching that men can become pregnant. Now, we all know this is mad. We all know this is crazy. These people belong in the asylum, not in the academy,
so
but
true.
There's not much difference left these days. But all we can do is to resist it and point it out to people and not be intimidated. And don't be afraid because they have these degrees. I got a PhD myself, okay? So I'm not impressed at all by degrees, because some of the people I've met in my life who are the most loopy are the ones with the
so
most
true.
Degrees.
Yep.
If you have common sense and you have grounded in your Judeo-Christian values and you're a practicing Catholic, trust your own instincts, not theirs.
Yeah. My guest today, Dr. Bill Donahue. I only have him for just a few minutes. That's all the time we have here. If you want to get in, sound off, share your own experience, ask your question, you can dial in 888 888- 914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. I know you probably know Senator Sam Brownback. I should say Ambassador Brownback. Earlier this year, you know, he's a big religious liberty champion. He tried to make a deposit into his religious liberties organization's bank account at J.P. Morgan, and he was told it was closed and that they could reopen it if, excuse me. Excuse me, doctor. My throat. I had something in it. They said he could reopen his bank account if he would provide a list of their funders. Is this the kind of thing we should be expecting in the future? I mean, this is kind of, I don't know, that's to me crossing the line.
Well, there are a lot of things that are crossing the line, and there is a war by the militant secularist. Our society, as has Europe, wherever the well-educated white people are, they say beware, because they're the ones involved in the intolerance against religious organizations, faith-based institutions, and the like. It's not coming from the non-white population. It's not coming from the working class, the firemen, and the cops. It's always coming from the people, particularly in the humanities and the social sciences, and increasingly in the case of the law schools. And they regard religion as the enemy, mm-hmm. and they think that, because their whole goal in life is that every individual make up his own moral compass. Well, we've seen where that leads. It leads to the grave, okay? All these people who practice wild sex, reckless sex, and promiscuous sex with whomever they want, they wound up in the grave, all right? And so if anybody who thinks that the way to freedom is abandonment, then you wind up not only with AIDS and STDs, you wind up with drunks, you wind up with livers that are shot, you wind up with gluttony, with people who are way, way overweight, or they're broke from gambling. Yeah. Any time of promiscuity winds up destroying the body, what God gave us. And it's unnatural. It's unnatural to man. It's unnatural to society. And unless people realize that moderation is a virtue and it's not a vice, then we're going to continue down this road. But the secularists never get it. That's why they go to the grave first.
Amen to that. Hey, Doctor, I have about a minute or two left. Final thoughts. What can we do? I guess we just have to persist in the fight, continue to be light, and continue to speak truth. But your final thoughts, and if people want to follow your writing, get plugged into what you're doing, what's the best way to do that?
Well, it's not just good enough to get educated. You have to have courage. And that's the biggest problem I have with people on our side. They know right from wrong, but they got to speak up. I'm not asking them to become cultural warriors. I'm paid to do it. That's easy.
Right.
I'm talking about, you know, when you over the holidays, if somebody says something that's really offensive, you can say, listen, now's not the time to engage in this. We don't want to ruin our holidays. But you offended me with what you said. People can just simply drop it, because it happens in families as well as in communities. And, of course, by listening to Relevant Radio, you're going to get the information. Then you have to act on it. And you can do the same thing by accessing CatholicLeague.org. We got some big announcements coming up next week, and I want people to find out what we're doing, because we are actively trying to change the culture.
That's great. Well, we'll bring it back. We'll talk about that when that news breaks. Doctor, thank you. Thanks for being
such
an outspoken voice. It's always good to have some rational thought here. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much.
It's Dr. Bill Donahue. You can check him out as well. Go to his website. The website is CatholicLeague.org. You can read that most recent piece I just talked about. And, of course, we'll try to stay on top of this. I'll just try to, you know, there's so many different stories that just kind of converge. Just wanted to give you a perspective on what's unfolding and ultimately what we can do. In the end, we win the battle, right? We know how the story ends, right? Good always conquers evil. In the end, the evil one's head gets crushed. Right, we always have to remember that, even though we're in the midst of the storm and we seem outnumbered, evil seems to be winning, secularism seems to be predominating. In the end, we win. Good conquers evil. Never forget that, all right? And let's invoke God's mercy when I come back. Let's ask for the Lord to be merciful to this country, that he'll bless, protect us, guard us, guide us, this great nation from sea to shining sea. Will be the nation that he intended us to be, right? A nation of virtuous people. Chapel of Divine Mercy is straight ahead. Stay with me.